It's Athletic Trainer, Certified Athletic Trainer Month. Almost at the end of it here, but we wanted to save the best for last. And so in studio with us from the University of Maine, Ryan Taylor and Paul Kalina. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Thanks for having us on.
Good. There they were. They're your trainers. Happy month. Let's move on.
Have a great day.
I heard a story about you. Is this true, Paul? Have you passed 600 hockey games now?
I believe so. Yeah.
Good. How's that possible? You're like your 20s, right?
It comes with age. It comes with age.
Man, oh, man.
I kind of lost count after 500.
Yeah, I don't blame you a bit. Let's talk about why we have this month to celebrate, why it's not an entire year of celebration. But really, part of this is because the job of athletic trainer has changed, but just in the time both of you guys have been in it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is when Paul and I were doing this, they didn't care if we were there 24 hours a day or if we were working every day of the week, including the holidays, as students. And the profession itself has grown, just like physical therapy and a lot of others, to where the guidelines have just dynamically changed. And the care we provide is changed over the years. I think about going back over 25 years and learning what ultrasound was, and today with lasers and all these other things that we have in the training room to help our student athletes. The technology has grown dramatically. Just think of our smartphones.
Yeah.
And just take that to the level with therapeutic modalities and everything else that's out there. You can imagine how Paul and I, at the age we are, a little over 40-something, but you know, we have to stretch our brains to grasp and learn, and it's exciting. It really is.
Well, if you go back, Paul, 20 years or so ago, the emphasis was on the athletic piece. And these days, you're very much a part of the medical staff of the university.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, I think a lot of, you know, way back in the day when the profession of athletic training started, and you know, you've got to remember the profession is still fairly evolving. It's still fairly young. You know, the first, you know, athletic trainers, you know, conventions and when they kind of identified the profession was back in the 1950s. So, you know, relatively young, compared to other healthcare professions. So, you had a lot of sports people that were getting into it just to kind of help athletes, you know, after their careers were done. But, you know, as Ryan was saying, you know, back when we started as students, you know, you maybe had, you know, one or two, you know, people that were working full time, and then the rest of it was students, and they taught you how to do something. Mm-hmm. And then it was up to you to do it. And then the students taught, you know, the younger students and so on and so forth. And now it's a, you know, it's an evolved field. It's still evolving. But it's, much more emphasis on the medical, much more emphasis on the, you know, the healthcare, and, you know, a little bit less so on the sports.
And Ryan, a big emphasis too, and you touched on a little bit, and prevention is obviously one of the big parts.
Yeah, I think, you know, Paul and I, and if you ask any other certified athletic trainer at the Division I level, or any level, I should say, we spend so much time during the day just getting them ready for practice, taking care of the minor things that might come up so they can continue to play at 95, 96, 100%. The thing with us at Maine is that we take great pride in the fact that you go through an entire season, you look at that roster, and you're trying to say how many of these guys were here the whole way through. And for some of these seasons, I'll pick on football because that's what I cover, but workouts start in June. And our season ends, hopefully this year, national championship or something like that. But it's going to go into December. And so 6 months of playing football or preparing for football, there's a lot of things that happen. And you try to keep that 95-man roster, and you look at that and say, you know, 85, 90 of them made them through. It's a moment of pride.
Paul, also in terms of the tools of the trade now, the ability you have in terms of diagnostics is so much greater than it was.
Oh, my gosh. It's It's night and day compared to, you know, where we were. And, you know, there are always new modalities, new tools, new techniques, you know, coming up. And, I was just reading a piece earlier today on, you know, another, you know, kind of evolving thing that, you know, we'll have to look into, you know, down the line. But, you know, you try to stay cutting edge. You try to, you know, expand your horizon, kind of expand your toolbox. You know, put as many of those tools in your box as possible, and be as well versed as you can in different areas, so that to use whatever you have at your disposal. And the ultimate goal is to keep your athletes healthy, to keep them on the ice, on the field, on the court, or when they do get hurt and they can't participate, to get them back as quickly, as safely as possible.
I also know too, and I've talked about this with coaches as well, there's, when you're working with athletes, there's that difference between being hurt and being injured. That sometimes something hurts and you may not want to get out there, but it may not be a situation where getting back out there is going to do any more harm to you.
Right. And every sport is different too. And you have to kind of, you have to be versed in the activity that the athlete is involved in.
There's also some psychology that plays into this too. Yeah,
there's a lot of that. Sometimes we play mom, sometimes we play dad. But my point is, if you look at a sprinter in track, a sprinter in track that's doing the 100 meter can't go at 80%. Whereas, maybe a lineman in football can. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in the collision sports, the team sports, those types of things, a lot of kids do play with, they're dinged up. As athletic trainers, it's our responsibility to, number one, make sure that they're safe. They're not at increased risk of doing, irreparable harm. And then second, to make sure that, we can, prevent further injury and help that, whatever the case is, get better.
And Ryan, I'm sure too, a lot of this is also holding back guys who are eager to get back out there and want to get back on the court or the ice or the field. And you have to be the one who says, no, you're not there yet.
Right. And I think one thing that's really important and helps us a lot is that we have such a family connection at UMaine in sports medicine with our doctors in the area, Down East Orthopedic, for example. And I'll pick on Dr. Morris, great guy, Dr. McGuire, and Dr. Truby. When we have those situations, they're also going to come in for us, and they're going to sit with the athlete and say, hey, these are the pros and cons. These are the risks and rewards. And then most of our coaches, if not all of our coaches, then get into the conversation with us as well, and they're understanding everything. And I can honestly say, in all the time I've been there, I've never had a problem with a coach going against a medical decision that any of the athletic trainers or physicians have made, with the safety of the athlete being the most important thing.
I also know, too, we have the folks from St. Joe's Healthcare on a couple of times a week, Amy Kenny and the crew, and there seems to be so much cooperation between athletic trainers, medical people in the area, that everybody kind of on the same team to make sure they're doing what's right for people.
Yeah, and the more you can, expand your network, the better you serve your patients. Ryan and I come from the athletic field, the traditional athletic training setting, being, a collegiate in an athletic department. What you've got to remember too is there are athletic trainers that work in so many different areas now. Again, going 20 years back, if you weren't working at a college or pro, you might be working, at high school, but that was pretty much it. Today you see athletic trainers, working in the military, you see them working as physician extenders, in a doctor's office, you see them working, outreach from a hospital and clinics. There was Cirque du Soleil, they're working with Broadway actors, you name it. They're in so many different areas now. But, getting back to your point of, growing that network of physicians, and I'll just give a quick example. I had a kid come in just last week. He came in the morning and, I suspected, he may have an appendicitis brewing. And we've got a general surgeon that we refer to quite a bit, and just made a quick call and said, let me just run this by you. He says, well, he doesn't have all the classic symptoms, but he's a young, healthy kid otherwise. Let's get him checked out. And sure enough, we were able to ward off, the problem before the thing ruptured.
You guys get a cake or anything from the university for this month? Anything, a parade?
An extra pat on the back.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really good. It came with a card.
And some of our students brought donuts in last week. Yeah. That was pretty good, too.
Yeah, well, we'll give you another pat on the back.
But Rich, just so you know, Paul is a legend in WWE, which he didn't mention, because every time they come to town, they ask for Paul Kleena.
I had no idea. Well, that makes sense. Now, there was some, I know back in the day, there was thought that he could go that route himself. All he needed was a cape, maybe a mask.
I'm afraid of heights. I couldn't get up on the rope.
Leotard.
Yeah, not going near that turnbuckle at all. Well, we celebrate the month, but we seriously celebrate the work that you guys and your peers do all year long. You do a great job under sometimes tough conditions and working at all hours of the day and night. So know that you are appreciated, and I mean that, guys.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Paul Kleena, Ryan Taylor from the University of Maine with us here on Downtown.